Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean strike. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
My name is Jason Dias, and we are talking Downton Abbey today on the air. We are broadcasting live from the offices of eloquentonline.net from the beautiful city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, a little 78130 zip code vibe working, and a long, long walk, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. He is the Chief Operating Officer at South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, we're back on the air.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you.
I'm on and speak to you in this sort of dialect based on everything that we're going to be talking about today.
I can't wait. I just want to make it clear. I am a Bible-thumping, gun-owning, red state living. I don't send money to PBS. And I guess it was back in late 2011, my wife asked me to sit down and watch a show with her on Sunday evening. And I was like, oh, that's the evening. I'll sit down. I'll watch my iPad or whatever. And the show was Downton Abbey. It was on Masterpiece Classic on PBS. And about 3 minutes into the show, I was absolutely hooked. Today we're going to talk about what your brand can learn from the brilliant performance that is Downton Abbey. Because, Troy, you and I talk about great performances all the time, and I know you love a great performance when you see and or hear one.
Absolutely, and you know, it's interesting because the premise of the of the show, it says, you know, the war's over, but intrigue, crisis, romance, and change still grip the beloved estate in the thrilling Downton Abbey.
Yeah, it's the first show, that when the show opens, the focus is on the sinking of the Titanic. And you and I both, we've probably seen the movie 1,000 times, Titanic, but I had never seen the viewpoint of the Titanic from the English, hearing about it, you know, this great disaster or whatever. So the show opens that way. I love shows that deal with historical realities. And, of course, the Titanic is a historical reality. And so that's what got me interested in it. And now, third season, the second episode just aired this past Sunday, and I was there. Sundays at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And because we talk about on this show, how do you make your brand like a band and leave the audience wanting more, I thought it was high time we talked about a great live performance that keeps the audience wanting more.
I agree, and I have to tell you, the interesting thing about it is my wife is so hooked on it that she bought a subscription, so she gets to see the series, the last 5 episodes for this season 3. She gets to preview before her sister does, because her sister has not purchased the season subscription. And realistically, when we talk about this and you want you want folks to talk about it, well, here's the deal. It has to be doing something right, because my sister-in-law told my wife about it. So the viral marketing that is in place with this, people finding this little nugget and then wanting to rise to the occasion to tell other people, that's exactly what you want to have done with your experience.
Yeah, and when I look at, I mean, like I said, the show is really popular now. I think it got a little bit snubbed at the Golden Globes, but I don't watch award shows anymore. I don't put a lot of stock in award shows. I put stock in audience levels. This show is probably single-handedly rescuing the brand that is PBS. And today we're going to talk about how the meticulous attention to details, the ability to write a new story every season to keep characters coming and going. Troy, your credit union is a gigantic billion-dollar entity. You probably have how many people coming through new employee orientation every month? 30 or 40 people?
Actually, you know, I appreciate you saying that, but no, we actually have a much smaller turnover here, and we really attribute it much to the culture, so that we, unless folks are moving out of the area, or they were only really here temporarily. We have a number of our folks that are employed who might be seeking jobs later. They go through their education process, and then they decide to, you know, fulfill that dream and do that work full time. But I would say my last new employee class, there were 7 people in it.
Okay, so it's 7 people. But on a show like this that has 13 or 14 characters, when you replace a couple of them to keep the performance going is pretty challenging. And so we're in the third season, a couple of new characters this year. Today we're going to talk about what can your brand learn from the brilliant performance that is Down Abbey. Like I said, I never thought this is a show that I would enjoy. I'm not a big fan of TV, period. Troy, you're getting your PhD right now. You probably have, what, an hour a week to devote to television?
I have no time per week to devote to television.
Yeah. I mean, so even less than that. And I'm the same way. There's not a single sitcom or drama that runs between Monday and Saturday that I sit down and watch. Everything I watch now was on Hulu or Netflix, or I watch it on TiVo. But what you said is absolutely true. The 3 or 4 people that I have recommended, hey, check out this show, it's a pretty good show, have all been through Facebook. A couple people within my small circle of friends at church and school. And today we're going to talk about how your brand now is out there in the social space. If you're performing each and every day, people can evaluate your performance to their 150, 350 friends or whatever based upon what you do. And I'm looking forward to talking about it, and we'll do it all right after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
All right, you are back on The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band or a performance, would you leave the audience wanting more? Okay, Troy, listen. The thing that first hooked me about the show was the whole historical aspect of it, but we played the music at the beginning. I got to tell you, that music was a big part of it for me too. I call, as you know, credit unions and businesses all the time in the work that I do, and some of the on-hold music, some of the first things I hear from a brand sound like they're from the 1920s. What does a brand need to do to make sure the first impression they make on the audience is a positive one?
Well, the first thing is they need to know the audience that they are either serving or the audience they want to attract, so that the encounter that the individual has with the brand isn't shocking. Because here's what happens, is, again, in the interaction with a brand, much like an interaction with a culture, it's a three-phase process. The first thing is the person has some sort of idea because maybe they've heard about the organization, so they kind of have a feel for what it's like, and that's called their pre-arrival stage in their minds. People have influenced them. They kind of got some things going on in the back of their head. Then comes the encounter, and that's then what determines whether or not the person engages and connects with the brand or whether they disconnect from it. And so you really have to make some very good choices about it, and I don't think it's a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all. I think you have to be very careful about what you do. It, just like the greeting that occurs, all of this defines who you are in the marketplace and what your experience is going to be with the consumer when they come in contact. One of the things that happens is the metamorphosis phase is when the individual now engages and becomes morphed into the experience and becomes morphed into the brand. And just like with the Downton Abbey, you know, you kind of gotten yourself morphed into the brand a little bit.
Yep,
so you had an
exactly.
encounter, you had an idea what it was like.
Yep.
All of a sudden, your wife said, watch it. You encountered it. You watched it. You were intrigued. You watched it again. You watched it again. Now, all of a sudden, you're morphed into the point that you've now brought it up to the level of talking about on the radio show.
Yeah, and what you do is you become a disinterested observer to a person that by word of mouth is recommending this brand to other people. And I got to tell you, Troy, I never saw a trailer for the first season. I don't watch enough television, and certainly not PBS. Troy, you know me. I watch Steeler football. That is my television.
Yeah.
That's what I was watching in the waning months of 2011. And my wife said, hey, sit down and watch this show. The old-fashioned $0 spent word-of-mouth marketing compels me to sit there in my recliner and watch this show that I have absolutely no interest in, and less than 2.5 years later, I'm talking about it on a radio program.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what brand wouldn't want that experience replicated over and over and over again?
Well, that's exactly what the brand should be looking for. As a matter of fact, one of the pieces of research that I'm doing right now is in this engagement area, and it's about looking at the generations and how do they engage with the relationships that they have. And when you think about your brand, you are in fact engaging in a relationship with the individual. And so you kind of think about it, are you courting the person? Are you dating the person? Are you just sort of an acquaintance with them? Is it an old friend that you're going to have back over again and again? Are you getting married to them? Or worst case, are you divorcing them and moving into another place?
Well, I got to tell you, when the first season was so brilliant. I probably watched the first season 4 or 5 times on Netflix when I was traveling early in the year last year in 2012. I was traveling every week. I was on an airplane. I was staying in hotels. So at night I would watch the show and other shows on Netflix. And I thought, this is great. When the show started up live in 2012, and I had to watch it waiting, you know, watch it on Sunday, wait a week, and watch it again, I did not like it. I thought, wow, the sophomore jinx, the second season, this is never going to make it to a third season. But when I watched it on my terms, you know, back to back to back to back, you know, skip an hour, watch the next night back to back to back, 3 or 4 episodes at a time, I absolutely loved it. And it told me that Americans today, they can pick not just their brand, not just their products, but the frequency of their brand and products. And that really impacts how they feel about that brand.
Absolutely. And the one thing that you do, and that's why this connectivity is so important in with your brand and the engagement process, because you need, in order to have that new sticky concept that we talk about for brands and the connectivity between the consumer and your company, what you want to do is make it so that there is compelling reason for them to connect to you, and they can do it at all hours of the night. For us in financial services, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have now text banking, mobile banking, we've got iPad apps. We're moving closer into using our telephones and our devices as wallets, electronic wallets. And the reason for that is because there's going to be a huge shift later on in 2013 from a legislative standpoint that I think is going to open the door for us. And so we're just hearing tidbits of it now, so I don't have a lot of knowledge. I know enough to be dangerous. But
yeah,
the point I'm making is that the trends have been telling us that this is it. People want this, accessibility. They want to be able to do it on their terms. And
yeah,
we realize that as a generational preference as well.
Well, I think today's consumer, and again, that's why I had a couple of Twitter messages and emails over the past week. And, oh, by the way, last week, Troy, I love measuring, you know, everyone talks about metrics and numbers. When we get about 1,000 listens a week, I'm very comfortable with the vibe of the show. As of this morning, we had 993 archive listens to last week's show. So I'm feeling pretty good about the information that we're providing to people. But I absolutely agree with you. If you're going to engage the audience, if you're going to market to the audience in a 30-second soundbite on the radio or on television during the weather or in the movie theater, when they come into a branch at South Carolina Federal, when they call the call center, when they log on, the expectations, which are already pretty high, better be met. And if they're exceeded, well, that's awesome. That's the best way to go.
Yep. And the experience needs to be consistent.
Yeah.
So that if there's a, you know, it really needs to be as consistent as possible. You cannot underestimate the value of having it show up the same over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last year on the show, the consistency that I'm accustomed to at my bank. Last year, there were some DNS issues at my bank. You couldn't log into internet banking. So like a lot of people, I went out, okay, what's the default option in internet banking? You pick up the phone and call to check your balance. Well, the voice recording that answered the phone so different than what I was used to, I immediately hung up. I thought, I'm getting set up to have my identity stolen. When I played that song at the beginning of the show, the song denotes the brand. The song denotes the experience. And what I think a lot of credit unions, banks, and businesses don't understand is they're always out there looking for the latest and greatest, when what a lot of people really love is the everyday common association with your brand that makes them feel comfortable, not overwhelmed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to talk about great performances this year on the show. We're going to talk about how you leave the audience wanting more. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about why for the past, let me see, 2 years now, I've been telling as many people I can about this wonderful performance that is Downton Abbey, and we'll do it all right after this. All right, hey, last week Sarah Cook sent me an email, said that she had "Walk Like an Egyptian" stuck in her head. You know,
love that.
I know. We play that song on the show in the breaks and stuff like that. To me, I've had Downton Abbey stuck in my brain for 3 seasons now. What I believe is true in banking, in any business, is that the audience is more informed than ever, and they select how often they need to come to your brand based upon their needs, their family, their lending needs, their refinance needs, their, we're going to buy an RV, we're going to buy a second piece of property or whatever. And I think so many credit unions, consultants, banking, marketing consultants are focused on how do we wow people. They just don't get how important it is to meet the immediate needs of folks when they interact with your brand.
Yes, and you know, it's really the idea about the wow factor is really that you can do every day and it can be a wow, because what's wow is the consistent. And if you go for the flash in the pants, I often think of it much like a sparkler. It's like, do you want a sparkler or do you want a candle? Where a sparkler has all this great, wonderful excitement, but let's face it, it's over in a few minutes and you've doused it in a bucket of water.
Exactly.
But the candle I put on and it'll burn for a lot, yep, many, many, many hours.
Right.
And I can blow it out and I can relight it, but you can't relight a sparkler.
Right.
So I think the wow experience for me has to be more like a candle and less like a sparkler.
And that's my point. You know, we talked about it last week on our first show. We said there was really nothing that stuck out in 2012 and said to us, wow, that brand is off the hook. Everything Progressive was doing, everything AT&T was doing, everything Southwest Airlines was doing, it had a certain, you know, expectation to it. But I don't, like I said to you last week, I've already picked my brand. My computer brand is Apple. My flight brand is Southwest Airlines. My 3G, 4G, LTE network is AT&T. So for the next 4 or 5 years, I don't need a lot of commercials from those guys. I don't need a lot of reminders. You know, I see them every day. They're like that candle that is lit, keeping the room lit, keeping the Internet Explorer available, keeping my ability to watch highlights on ESPN, you know, easy to access. And I absolutely agree with you. For me, in its third season, Downton Abbey is that comforting, consistent, I can rely on it. If I'm going to give up my last hour of freedom on Sunday night, I'm willing to give it up to a show on PBS that without that word-of-mouth association, I never would have heard about.
Right. Yep.
Well, let me tell you some of my favorite things about the show. Of course, it's beautifully written. It's beautifully filmed. It is a period piece. It's set. The first season is set. The opening show, like I said, the sinking of the Titanic in 1912. It moves through World War One, and now in the third season, it's exploring the world after the First World War. Women getting the vote. Different kinds of changes in social class, and the whole concept that what always was isn't always is. And I love that. But what I think makes the show so compelling is that when you tune in, you know that you're going to get a great story. And when you're watching the story, the details, the costumes, the music, the background, the filming. One of the things that I think we lose in the discussion that we have at conferences and in strategic planning sessions, how important it is to pay attention to the details. Your business, Troy, was open today at 9 o'clock. People are coming to you all day long in person, on the phone, online, in the drive-up. If they're sending in their checks to be deposited, they want the details to matter, don't they?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, the details are something that, even as a casual observer, I would have noticed if, you know, Lady Mary was wearing a pair of Michael Jordan high tops. And what I think is lost a lot of times in the discussions we have at our businesses today is the little things. How clean is the environment? How inviting is the environment? And it's just been a great a learning experience looking at this show and thinking, how do we apply it to what we do? Well, listen, we love great performances here on the radio program. Throughout the year, we're going to look at great performances in art and in music and in drama, and we look forward to bringing it all to you. Hey, Troy, listen, before we get out of here, what's the latest and greatest happening out there in South Carolina?
Well, in South Carolina, the latest, greatest that, you know, for us is seeing a little bit of a resurgence in our auto loan portfolio. We're seeing that consumers are having a little more confidence, I think, in some of their decisions to buy, which is good. Some of it is consistent with the fact that in any business, they should be looking for the pent-up demand that has been on hold because the economy has held us hostage for the last four years or so. And despite the fact that the fiscal cliff sort of showed up, and as sheep, I guess we went over it, you know, even though, you know, crazy stuff that is, we still see that people are not necessarily holding back. Because they have held back for so long that they now need to make these purchases. They can't wait any longer. But what we think will happen is there will be a lot of folks working on secondary markets. In other words, it won't always be new that they'll be looking to buy. They're going to be looking to buy that secondhand. They're going to be looking for that deal. They're going to be looking for how can I reuse and repackage and repurpose something. So I think that's probably what we're going to see through a lot of 2013.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I wondered. I mean, you and I talk about this. We talk about a lot of things offline. And you and I were never in that camp worried if you know, the world was going to end on the 21st of December. But I did wonder if there would be some psychological aspect of the marketplace that when the world did not end, that people would relax and start getting back to buying things and planning for things and thinking about things and managing their finances, all the kinds of behaviors that impact a brand like yours in a very real and ever-present way. So I'm glad to hear that. I think autos and homes and second homes and properties and stuff like that are going to come back a little bit in 2013. I think here in Texas, we're already seeing and have seen probably since 2009, 2010 kind of a counter economy because so much is happening here in the state with oil and gas exploration. And, of course, we're looking forward to talking to y'all about it because what Troy and I do is we look at great performances, but we also look at the fact that without a great business model, without a great economy, if you don't have a great economy, people can't afford to go to the theater and watch Downton Abbey or Shakespeare or anything else, can they?
No. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, listen, I can't believe we're coming to the end of another show. Hey, Troy, listen, you have a great, great weekend and week
Thank
out
you.
There in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina.
And top of the morning to you.
And top of the morning to you. Hey, folks, every Wednesday we're going to get with you and talk about great performances, things that really set the audience apart and leave the audience wanting more. And if you want to find out how to put on a great live performance, you can always tune in here and find out whether it's a song or a movie or a PBS series, a show that I still can't believe. I got for Christmas, I got a book from my mom about Downton Abbey. It was the first two seasons, all the background about Downton Abbey, a great book. And I read it, and I was so embarrassed to have it. When I took it to my son's school to share it with the first grade teacher, I actually hid it under my jacket. I did not want people to know that I was a fan of this show. It was so counter to my, like I said, my Bible-thumping, gun-owning, right-wing, hardcore Republican persona that I couldn't believe that I was so engaged with this masterpiece classic show. Well, listen, surprise your audience. When you do that, when you give them what they want, and when you give them what they expect, you can expect to be in business for a long, long time, and we'll talk about it every week right here on The Power of Performance. On behalf of Troy Hall, the toughest, talkingest chief operating officer of any financial institution anywhere, and myself, Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the audience of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. A great week to you. Top of the morning to you. Top of the afternoon and whenever you're listening. And we'll talk to you soon. Check you next week.